Please welcome Alicia Klein.
So I'm doing something a little different tonight. I like to have my stories like super planned out and rehearsed. And I wasn't really coming up with anything for this week, so I was like, I'm just going to go. I'm not going to tell a story. And then like an hour ago, I was like, oh, I'm going to tell this story. And I wish I had like four more days to prepare it. And I don't, but I'm going to tell it anyway, because why not? And so that's why I'm like shaking up here. Okay. When I turned 30, I went from liking my eggs scrambled to wanting them fertilized. Like the day I turned 30, I woke up and I said, I want a baby now. I mean, I'd always knew I wanted children, but in a very far off kind of way, like 5 to 10 years. I'd been saying 5 to 10 years for at least 5 to 10 years already. And then just my hormones, something happened, and I wanted a baby now. I wasn't in any kind of relationship at all at that point. So I just put it out in the universe. I said, universe, I'm ready. Send me the man of my dreams. But I also had a little disclaimer, like, okay, universe, I'm going to give you 5 years. And if I'm not on some serious path to a baby by 5 years from now, I'm just going to take things into my own hands and do whatever I have to do to get myself a baby. So a lot of things happened in those 5 years. And by some miracle, about 3 weeks before I turned 35, I got engaged. We got married a year and a half later, and we started trying right away. Because this whole time, I'd been like, I've been wanting a baby. So we started trying. We got really lucky and got pregnant right away, like extra pregnant. I got pregnant with twins. I didn't see that one coming. And from that moment, really, like nothing that I had, you know, thought about or anticipated really went the way I thought it would. A couple years ago, I told the birth story, and I'm not going to tell that again tonight. I'm going to jump forward to where we left off, like in the operating room with these two tiny humans laying on my chest. And I look down at them. And, you know, they say all this stuff about when you first hold your baby or when you first see your baby and, like, this magnificent love that is not like anything you've ever felt before. And I've been anticipating this moment for so long. And I looked down at them and I felt this amazing awe. And then I felt nauseous. And so I said, take these babies off of me. I need to throw up. And they took them away. They whisked them off to the NICU because they were 6 weeks early. I needed to make sure they were okay. And I turned my head and vomited down my face and into this little pan. And then I vomited some more. And when I finally stopped vomiting, this part I didn't actually learn until later. My husband told me this months later. I think he was too traumatized to speak about it earlier. So I ended up having a C-section, and there's this curtain hanging there. And what they do now is they have like a little plastic window in the curtain so that the partner can look through it and see the babies being born. But it all happened pretty quickly. We weren't planning to have a C-section, so no one took the time to tell Eric, my husband, like what he might see through that window. So apparently what he saw through that window was me, the lower half of me, split open with organs lying around in various containers. And the doctor smushing something in her hands, my uterus, back together, and then shoving it into my body. And as she shoved it into my body, that was the moment that all the vomit came out. So we both had our own traumatizing experiences that day. Anyway, the vomiting finally stopped, and they wheeled me off to the recovery room. Eric came with me, but I told him, you know what, I'm so exhausted. I just need to sleep. I don't need you for that. Go see the babies. You know, be with them. So he left, but I couldn't sleep. The vomiting had stopped, but the violent shaking had begun, I guess, as I was coming off of all these drugs. Every time I started to fall asleep, my body would violently shake me back awake. And also, I was connected to machines, and there was beeping, a lot of beeping, and sometimes the beeping would go faster, and the nurse would come over to, like, jiggle things around, and I couldn't figure out if it was just the machines weren't connected and she was reconnecting them, or if she was, like, shaking me to keep me from dying. And I couldn't really ask her because I was so out of it. That went on for maybe an hour or maybe days, but finally they decided I wasn't going to die, so they brought me to a hospital room. And Eric came back, and the babies were doing okay, and I couldn't see them yet because I had had a fever, and I couldn't go to the NICU with a fever. Except I don't know for sure that that's what happened, because I have that memory, but I also have another memory of them asking me if I wanted them to wheel my bed up to the NICU so I could see them. And so I was pretty out of it. I don't know if I didn't see them that night because I had a fever, or if I didn't see them because I was too scared, or because I felt the worst that I've ever felt in my entire life. Like, physically, like, the worst hangover you've ever had times 1,000, and mentally exhausted, emotionally just wrecked, because these two little babies that had been inside of me for so long, they weren't there anymore, and they weren't even with me. I didn't know where they were. I'd gotten to hold them for that brief time, and then they were gone. And, you know, all the hormones and the drug withdrawal and the no sleeping and all of it. So I didn't see them that night, and I didn't sleep either, because I was still shaking. And every 3 hours, I had to hook myself up to a giant machine to try to get my boobs to start giving off milk. And the whole thing was ridiculous. Eric was sleeping soundly on a couch right there. God bless him. I made it through the night somehow, and in the morning, it only got worse, because I was starting to feel things again, and so then there was this horrible pain where I'd been sliced open and stitched back together again, and I had to try to move and get myself up and walking into the bathroom, and breathing hurt and laughing and coughing, and everything hurt, really. But they put me in a wheelchair and wheeled me up to the NICU, and I finally got to see my babies. And they were early, but they were in really, really good shape. They were just little, and they just needed to watch them a little bit. And they were in their two little beds and hooked up to all kinds of machines, which was, like, a little scary and weird, but they were kind of cute. They didn't quite look like cute babies yet. They looked a little bit like animatronic dolls with, like, these jerky movements, but like, they were my babies, and I got to finally feel that thing that everyone talks about that don't really know how to put into words. And they were in the NICU for 9 days. Those were the hardest 9 days of my life. That's a whole other story for another time. You know, nothing about being pregnant or childbirth or motherhood has really been anything like I anticipated, except for one thing, and that is that it's the greatest thing I've ever done.